We're in conversation with Dr. Richard Béliveau, author of Foods That Fight Cancer, Preventing Cancer Through Diet. He is a biochemistry professor and chair in the prevention and treatment of cancer at the University of Quebec in Montreal, director of the Molecular Medicine Laboratory at Saint-Justine Hospital, and professor of surgery at the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Montreal. And Dr. Béliveau, we were just before the break, I was talking about some of the concepts mentioned in the book with regard, and what I found fascinating was the parallels between chemotherapy and traditional chemotherapy and treating cancers and suppressing cancer through what you call a metronome approach with regards to how we eat food. I'd like to know if you could sort of cover that concept for us a bit.
Yeah, the metronomic approach was a concept that was developed through the anti-angiogenic therapy. That's the therapy that we talk about that is aiming the tumor blood vessel. And this concept was developed because of the fact that when you take small amount, lower concentration of some therapeutic drug, what you attack is not the tumor cells themselves, but the endothelial cells that are constituting the blood vessel. So if you what was found in therapy of cancer is that some drug at very low concentration, they destroy the blood vessel associated with the tumor. And if you treat patient with low concentration of some drug, anti-cancer drug, you can treat them adequately because you destroy the tumor blood vessel development. Mm-hmm. And so this concept of metronomic, in fact, is perfectly adapted to the way of eating because we eat every day. And generally, we eat three times a day. So when you eat, in fact, if what you do is you consume some of these phytochemicals that have anti-cancer properties, so you expose yourself on a daily concentration and from a day-to-day exposure to these chemicals. So that the concept of metronomic approach, the concept comes from the metronome because the metronome, you know, is always beating at a regular time. So the metronomic approach is really taking fruits and vegetables every day. The Canadian Food Guide recommends 5 to 10 portions of fruits and vegetables a day, and 62% of Canadians don't eat mm-hmm. that. So 5 to 10 portions is a lot of fruits and vegetables. So I think we need just to get back to this and focus much more on regularly eating that. Not eating, you know, half a pound of broccoli on Sunday right. night and not eating it for the rest of the week. But try, when we go to restaurant, when we cook at home, try to integrate the big families of cancer-fighting food in our daily diet. Do not take supplement, but try to integrate these in a regular way of eating. That's the metronomic approach, basically. It's not more complicated than that. Because we have to see cancer as a chronic disease, as we said. So a diabetic patient cannot skip his insulin injection. He has to take it every day. So I think fighting cancer is the same. We have to do this consumption of plant-derived product on as much regular basis as possible.
Now, in your book, you review many phytochemicals
yes.
and a lot of different foods and yes. also the history yes. of a lot of the foods. For example, cabbage, and you gave the background of you know, the cabbage family and the broccoli yeah. and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and the countries that it came from. When people hear the term phytochemical, it does encompass, and when they read the book, it does encompass a lot of different chemical constituents in food.
Yeah.
What should people take away when they read the book? Because there's certainly the actual chemical names that are in there, the biochemistry is in there. What, when they read the book, should they take away from it?
I think what is important to understand there is that there is a great diversity in nature because essentially these chemicals, they are toxic for our cancer cell, but the plant do not produce them to help us. They produce them to defend themselves against insect, bacteria, virus, and yeast. So some specific types of fruits and vegetables are more attacked than others, so they produce more of these chemicals. So I think it's not the chemicals themselves that's important. We put it there just to show people that these were, you know, existing entities. It's not preventing cancer is not a mystical concept. It's not an esoteric concept. It's really treating yourself with a nutrition-derived chemotherapy on a daily basis. So I think what is important to get from the book is the list of the first understand what cancer is, because I think ignorance is a good part of the fear. So when you understand what cancer is, you already get rid of a good fear that we have against cancer. And secondly is to identify the big family types of plant product that have anti-cancer activity. So it's the family of cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprout, and so on, the garlic, onion, shallots types of family, all the legumes, including soy product, of course, and then and the berries family, blackberries, blueberries, strawberries. These are the big family. And then you have specific product that we don't consume at all in North America, such as turmeric, which is extremely anti-cancer. And turmeric by itself is probably one of the main reasons why the rates of cancer are so low in India, because Indian people consume a lot of turmeric. And the other type of product are green tea, red wine, and dark chocolate. So some specific product that have anti-cancer properties, and for people who want to integrate them in their diet, I think that's the most important message of the book.
Now, there was another important concept, I believe, in the book that, again, this comes down to terminology and what people hear in the media.
Yes.
There's always confusion when they hear antioxidants.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, you look at the phytochemicals, and you're not dealing with just antioxidant properties. In fact, the antioxidant property is not the major factor for many of the effects of these particular compounds.
Yeah, you've read the book very with a lot of attention. That's very important, this concept. You know, often we should not be reductionist with cancer. Cancer is a very complex disease. It's 40% of people in Canada will be affected by cancer. So it's more than 30% now. It's 40% of the people that will be affected by cancer. It's a terrible disease, but we should not have a reductionist view toward that. Antioxidant, you know, oxidation is only one of the thousands of chemical reactions that occurs in our body. And most of these chemicals that we talk about in the book have nothing to do with an antioxidant activity. Cauliflower, for example, is a very poor antioxidant, and it's one of the most potent anti-cancer veggies that you can have in your diet. So we should not, you know, be too reductionist in trying to understand what cancer is. These chemicals, they're acting at a lot of level, and oxidation is just one of them, not the most important.
Now, you mentioned that your lab is engaged in the Nutrinome Project. Can you describe what it is?
I'm very excited about that. It's a big international project. What we're doing now is screen all the fruits and vegetables that are available for eating by a human population, and test them specifically with all the various types, most common type of human cancer that we can test. So we are testing tomatoes, cranberries, all veggies that are available on market with specific human tumor, and we're trying to see if there are some specific profile of tumor killing activity with specific fruit and vegetable associated with one type of human cancer. This has never been done. So we want to get a real overview of if we could attack, brain tumor, for example, with a specific combination of plant-derived product, and give recommendation to patients that have that are at higher risk because of family history or because of previous history of cancer. If we could design specific regimen that would help these people to prevent cancer with a higher probability of risk reduction.
There are a couple of other areas I wanted to cover. One was the effect of cooking some of the foods.
Yeah.
There was a caller earlier this week on that asked, what's the effect of eating strawberry jam? Is it different than eating a regular strawberry?
Yeah.
And I was thinking of what was in the book. I wasn't completely convinced to give him this answer, but based on what I read in the book, I said, well, if you're cooking the strawberry, you're probably denaturing a lot of the compounds that are in the strawberry, especially if you're boiling it to make jam.
Yeah.
Is that sort of a correct assumption to make?
It's a complex question, and I will give you a complex answer.
Okay.
There are no straight, easy answer to that. Globally, I think to answer that, we have to go back to the population studies. And when you look at the population study worldwide, generally the people that have lower rates of cancer worldwide, they cook most of their vegetables. You know, North African couscous is cooked. Mm-hmm. Indian, most of the dish are cooked. Chinese, most of the dish are cooked. Japanese depends, but generally, so the statistic probably makes it. Most of these chemicals, they resist the heat denaturation. We are afraid of heat denaturation because of vitamins most of the time, but mm-hmm. A lot of these chemicals resist to heat. They don't resist to oxidation as well. That's why, you know, I don't recommend supplement. I really recommend more eating the real stuff, the real fruits and vegetables, because right. when the molecule is in the cell, the cell itself, it's protected from oxidation and enzymatic degradation. So it's probably more stable. So generally, I would say that cooking is not that bad. I think what is important is really to eat a lot of these and to integrate them so that we have pleasure when we eat them, so that we want to eat more of it. I don't go for the crude version. I think if you prefer it crude, I think definitely there is more advantage in eating it in a raw state than in a cooked state. Mm-hmm. But I think that some people have shown that for the cabbage family type of molecules that we call glucosinolates, even if some of them are destroyed by the cooking, our microflora in the intestine has enzymes that are able to reconstitute the active molecule from the one that have been cooked. So I think that our, bacteria in our intestine can do a lot of job in recuperating some of these molecules and giving them, regenerating the original molecule that is for some of which could have been lost during the cooking. We have to remember that we have 10 times more bacteria in our body than we have human cells. So it's a lot of cells to do a lot of work. So I tend to see it globally, and if you can eat raw, if you like it raw, uncooked, take it. But for most of the vegetable, they're better when they're cooked.
Now, my last point that I wanted to make is that there have been reports of the effects of polyphenols, especially found in chocolate, and it seems that there also is a fun element to this, to the science. It's as if there's pieces of the jigsaw are coming together.
Exactly.
We know that we're learning more about what fruits and vegetables are, and turmeric and wine and chocolate are doing,
mm-hmm.
and the science is showing us why. So it must be professionally and even aesthetically pleasing work to do.
Oh yeah, I think it's very it's very, very important to understand that eating has always been associated culturally with evolution and with pleasure. I think we've lost in the 20th century the concept of pleasure associated with eating. We're eating just to get calories in North America. I think eating is a great moment in life. It's the first pleasure that we have as human being, and it's probably the last one that we keep as human being when we get very old. So I think eating is very important. We just have to rediscover the diversity of what nature produces to that we can feed on, and to integrate that into a pleasant combination that have been developed over thousands of years by a great diversity of human culture. And you can judge advancement of a civilization by its advancement in cooking. Great culture, great cooking. Little culture, little cooking. So I think it's important to rediscover the importance globally of cooking. And with this, I think we just will be in better health globally, not only to fight cancer, but, for fight against obesity, diabetes, hypertension, and cardiovascular disease. The recommendation in the book that are aiming at fighting cancer are the same that apply mm-hmm. to cardiovascular disease and to all other degenerative diseases that hit the North American people.
Well, Dr. Béliveau, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today about this, and I'd love to have you back on with regards to the Nutrinome Project and find out some of the new things that are being discovered. I think it would be just fantastic.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
You're very welcome. Dr. Richard Béliveau is author of Foods That Fight Cancer, Preventing Cancer Through Diet. I highly recommend, if you're going to read a book on food, throw out the diet books and read a book that actually tells you about the foods and get motivated that way, because frankly, that I think is the way to go. He's also a biochemistry professor and chair in the prevention and treatment of cancer at the University of Quebec at Montreal, director of the Molecular Medicine Laboratory at Saint-Justine Hospital, and professor of surgery at the Faculty of Medicine at the University